I realize it's not really about, you know, how much minutes you play. It's how productive you are in the minutes you play. So I just try to go out there and be productive as I can. And, you know, if my minutes get increased, if they decrease, you know, I'll still go out with the same effort and help the team.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of Boot Up, the LSU Basketball Podcast. I am Cody Worsham, digital media reporter for LSU Athletics. A lot to get to on today's show as the Tigers get off to a very good start in SEC play with an 88-79 win over Alabama to improve to 11-3 on the season and win their first SEC home game of the year. We're going to recap that game with some audio from Will Wade, from Cavell Bigby-Williams, who you heard there in the introduction. If you have any issues understanding Cavell's accent, basically what he was saying was it doesn't matter how many minutes he gets. He only played 7 minutes last time out. He played a lot more than that last night against Alabama and was huge, and we'll talk about that. But basically he was saying doesn't matter how many minutes you play, you've got to go out there and contribute and play hard. And the reason I started the show with that quote is because I think it sums up exactly what we saw from LSU last night. Guys in new roles, embracing their roles. The chemistry on this team is something that I've been really impressed with, and we'll break that down a little bit. Just a little bit of programming news before we get to the rest of the show, and I'm going to come back at the very end and answer some of your questions because we had a lot of questions last night on Twitter. I appreciate that. You can always submit questions to me at Cody Worsham on Twitter. You can also download the Anchor app, which is the app that I use to make this podcast, and you can actually submit your voice questions there if you want to hear your voice on this podcast if you get tired of hearing mine. So those are your options for getting questions, and we'll get to those at the very end of the show. But a couple programming notes. It's about 2:20 on Wednesday right now. I've spent all day breaking down the film so I could be a little bit more prepared for this podcast, but I'm going to try to have this episode out this afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, and I'm going to try to come back Friday with another episode. We have a media session with the players on Thursday. Going to try to get either one of the players to sit down with me or maybe just grab a few sound bites and then talk to Will Wade and preview the trip to Arkansas this weekend. But before we do that, let's recap what happened last night between LSU and Alabama. As I said, the Tigers win 88-79. Tremont Waters led the way with 19.7 assists. Cavell Bigby-Williams, who again you heard at the top of the show, 14 points, 13 rebounds, 5 blocks. Really good team performance from LSU all around. Tigers outshoot Alabama 49% to 40%. They were really hot from 3, 10 of 15 from downtown for 67% compared to just 29% from Alabama. And the biggest thing, I think, if you're looking at the team stats, pretty much even on the boards. LSU only got out-rebounded by 1, 36 to 35. Alabama did a little bit more damage on the offensive glass in the second half, which we will talk about a little bit. But for the most part, LSU was competitive on the boards. They were competitive in points in the paint. Alabama had 34. LSU had 32. So all in all, a very good performance from LSU. A couple things I want to talk about before we talk about individual players. A different starting lineup again for LSU last night. They went with a lineup that I kind of thought they might go with. Tremont Waters at the 1, Skylar Mays at the 2, Marlon Taylor at the 3, Naz Reid at the 4, Cavell Bigby-Williams at the 5. The reason I expected that lineup from LSU is I thought Will Wade might want to go a little bit larger to combat Alabama's size. They're a big team. You saw that last night. And he did. He had Taylor at the 3. When he's going to start Taylor at the 3, that means one of the 3 guards that have kind of started all year will be sacrificed from the starting lineup. And last night, it was Javonte Smart. And the way that Javonte Smart responded, and again, it ties in with Cavell Bigby-Williams, and his role was phenomenal. Javonte came off the bench, 15 points, 5 assists, just 1 turnover. He was massive in the first half when LSU really pulled away in the stretch that made the difference in the game. It was actually when Tremont Waters, who played so well last night, went out with foul trouble. Javonte stepped up and ran the point for about the last 5 minutes of the first half, and during that stretch, LSU went on a 19-7 run. Okay, so the final difference is a 9-point difference for LSU. This is a 12-point difference in this 19-7 run to close out the first half. And Javonte Smart scored or assisted on all 19 points. He absolutely took over the basketball game, was making all the right decisions, hit 3 threes, some really tough step backs. If you want to see film of that, I posted a bunch of videos today. His ability to create space just with his ball handling, with his shimmies, with his footwork is really incredible. That was on display last night. And Will Wade talked about it after the game. I thought it was a really interesting quote. This sort of gives you an insight into the psychology and the emphasis on psychology that Will Wade has with this program. He thinks everything through. When he decided to bring Javonte Smart off the bench, he realized that, hey, it's been a while since Javonte Smart came off the bench. In fact, he might never have come off the bench. He's a three-time Mr. Louisiana, Mr. Basketball in Louisiana at Scotlandville High School in Baton Rouge. He started as a freshman. I mean, I don't know if Javonte Smart's ever come off the bench. He did last night for the first time this season. He responded well. Will Wade talked about that in the postgame.
So he played great. You know, I talked to him today at shoot-around. I said, I know it's the first time he probably come off the bench in, probably 6-7 years, probably longer than that. But, you know, I thought he did a good job of you know, I told him, I said, you know, just sit with Coach Armstrong, get a flow of the game. I thought when he came in, he saw things better and was ready to go and just had a little more pop to him. So I was very, very pleased about that. And I thought he played just a tremendous game, maybe his best game of the season.
Another guy who was in a different role on Tuesday night was, of course, Cavell Bigby-Williams. Cavell only played 7 minutes against ULM the last time out. The only stat that he recorded was a single rebound. So if you were surprised to see him in the starting lineup against Alabama, I understand that. He didn't play a ton against ULM, but that was matchup intensive. ULM was smaller. I think they were about 6'5 or 6'6 at the five spot. LSU went a little bit smaller to match that up. Will Wade likes to do that. It looks like he doesn't necessarily want to dictate matchups. He kind of likes to match up in ways to neutralize other teams and then find the strengths within his own roster once he goes with that starting lineup. But Cavell Bigby-Williams was needed last night against Dante Hall. If you remember last year, Dante Hall gave LSU fits. And I almost tweeted during the game that, you know, that Spider-Man meme where the two Spider-Mans are pointing at each other? To me, that was Cavell Bigby-Williams and Dante Hall last night. They just look very similar. They're both like 6'10", 6'11". They're long. They're athletic. They're rangy. But that would not have been a good tweet because there was a huge difference between the two last night. Cavell Bigby-Williams dominated. He had 14 points, 13 rebounds, 5 blocks. He was all over the place, particularly to start the second half when LSU kind of extended its lead out to about 19 points. In the first 3 minutes of the second half, Cavell Bigby-Williams had 6 points, 4 rebounds, and a block, which I tweeted this earlier. If you do the math on that, just per 30 minutes, that's 60 points, 40 rebounds, and 10 blocks. Obviously, that's not sustainable, but it shows you how productive he was during that stretch. And Cavell talked about after the game a really good question from Tyler Nunez over at Tiger Egg just about, hey, you know, you didn't play a lot last game. When you do get a chance to shine, when you do get a chance to play, how important is it to produce? And Cavell's answer was the audio that I played at the top of the show, which was a great answer, so I'm going to play it back again here.
I realize it's not really about, you know, how much minutes you play. It's how productive you are in the minutes you play. So I just try to go out there and be productive as I can. And, you know, if my minutes get increased, if they decrease, you know, still go out with the same effort and help the team.
It's not a given that guys are going to accept their roles in any given team. That's probably the most difficult part about coaching college basketball at any level, is convincing guys, but particularly at the SEC level where so many of these guys were highly touted recruits. Cavell's a former national JUCO player of the year. Convincing these guys to buy into different roles on different nights instead of always being the star, which is what they're used to. Last night was a perfect example of Javonte buying into his role coming off the bench, Cavell buying into his role after having played very little the previous game as being a focal point in this game. Both of those guys bought into it. Both of those guys executed it to a T. As a result, LSU comes out with a win. Here's what Will Wade had to say about Cavell Bigby-Williams after the game.
He's been great. You know, it's just tougher, like, against Monroe when they've got 6'5", 5 men. It's just very tough to – you kind of got to match them, you know, with the – but, I mean, you need some guys like that in the old – you know, when you get in the SEC. And so, you know, he's – it's like I told him, I said, good job tonight. You get to wind it up again and play Gafford on Saturday. So, you know, welcome to the SEC. But, you know, I thought he did a tremendous job tonight. And, you know, he's a team player and he prepares very, very well every day. And I thought that showed tonight.
A couple other things that stood out from the game last night from the box score. Darius Days comes off the bench, 14 points, 5 of 10 from the field, 3 of 4 from 3. He had about as interesting a night from three-point territory as you could have. He airballed his first one, drained his next two, and then hit one off the backboard He also banked one in at some point. So one of those, he must have had a foot on the line and only counted for two. I'll have to go back and look. But he was big off the bench. What he does defensively is really special. I had a couple clips of that on Twitter. And then Emmett Williams quietly off the bench, 7 points, just two rebounds. But he was plus 14 in 18 minutes. So obviously LSU was much more able to combat Alabama's size this year, just with some of those big bodies they were able to bring off the bench. One final note from last night, Skylar Mays, just 8 points in 36 minutes. Not his best offensive night, although he was fine offensively. It just wasn't a night that they needed a bunch of points from him. Defensively, though, Skylar was phenomenal last night. He was plus 8 in those 36 minutes on the defensive end of the floor. He only had two steals, which, you know, two steals is good. Not anything to write home about, but still a good number. But just his on-ball defense has improved so much. He frustrated Dazon Ingram earlier in the game, who's a guy that kind of makes Alabama go. He guarded Kyra Lewis quite a bit. I mean, he was really, really good last night on the defensive end of the floor. I don't think he gets enough credit for his defense. I think he's maybe LSU's best perimeter defender. And just the way that he's changed his body, the way he's learned how to defend, he does this thing where he, even when he gets beat off the dribble, he uses his hips to sort of steer the ball handler. Keep an eye out for it next time you're watching LSU. It's really, really impressive to watch. His emergence as a defensive stopper on that end of the floor has been really big for LSU. So at this point, I'll go ahead and get to some of the questions that you asked me on Twitter after the game. Remember, you can always send me questions at Cody Worsham, or you can download the Anchor app and hit me up there. Let's scroll back through Twitter here and look at some of these questions, because there are quite a few of them. Let's start here with with Anthony Alexander asked if I can provide any videos from Quick Change. I cannot provide any videos from Quick Change. Sorry about that, Anthony, but thank you. George, who is at McLaughlin1_1, how can LSU play aggressive but not commit so many fouls? Good question, George. That was particularly a problem with LSU in the second half. Alabama got to the free throw line, I think, 20 times, made 18. You know, part of that is when teams get down, there's data on this somewhere, I've read it before, but when teams get down by double digits, they start getting a few more calls their way. It's sort of an inherent bias with refs. I think there was a little bit of that last night, where there were a couple of calls that got called against LSU that led to Alabama free throws that I wasn't quite sure about. As far as staying aggressive defensively, a thing that I think about a lot with basketball, and I think there was another question here somewhere that kind of ties into this, but people tend to think of basketball, certainly LSU fans, and I think fans that are football fans first and then basketball fans second, as separate segments. You have your offense and you have your defense, because that's the way it is in football, right? You have your offense, you have your defense. There's very little connection there. In basketball, it's much more synergetic. And so when your offense is good, it tends to make your defense better, because when you make a shot, you can get back and get set. And the same way that when your defense is bad, your offense tends to get bad. And when your offense is bad, your defense tends to get a little bad. So I thought that was kind of what plagued LSU last night, particularly in the second half when they started getting those fouls, is up 66-51 with about 10 minutes left. Alabama went into this zone. And it was the second of two things that Alabama did in the second half that were definitely not, I mean, I didn't see the scouting report. There's no way they were on the scouting report for LSU. This zone defense that gave them trouble, it helped Alabama cut the LSU lead from 15-4 over about a 5 or 6 minute stretch. And then they brought in Giddens off the bench, who hasn't played for them all year, Daniel Giddens, and he gave them a nice little punch in the arm. I think he was plus 10 in like 11 minutes, or plus 11 in 10 minutes, something like that. Alabama kind of went off scouting report, and it threw LSU through a loop. But that zone in particular, I think, led to a lot of fouls, because LSU didn't have so let me backtrack a little bit here. LSU probably didn't prepare for an Alabama zone. I think Will Wade even said after the game they didn't really prepare for it. But the key to attacking a zone is, this is an old basketball coaching axiom, you beat a man defense with the pass, and you beat a zone defense with the dribble. And so you need guys who can attack off the dribble in a zone defense, against a zone defense. And LSU didn't get Javonte Smart and Tremont Waters, who to me are the two best guys off the bounce. They didn't get those two guys on the floor together until it was about 70-62, and Alabama had kind of already trimmed into that lead. And once those two got in, I think Javonte literally checked in first thing he did was drive baseline and get fouled against the zone. Once those two guys got in, the zone wasn't really an issue for LSU anymore, and it kind of neutralized it. So that sort of ties into another question that someone had asked about LSU zone offense and maybe putting someone else in the high post other than Naz Reid. You know, if you look back at it earlier in the year, they did put Skylar Mays in the high post against the zone, and that might be something they go back to. But I think, and here it is, the question I was referring to from Peyton Mitchell at P_Mitch72. He said, can we put Mays or Smart in the middle of the zone instead of Reid? I think Skylar would be a great option there. They've done that before this year. He's big enough to make some plays in the middle of that zone. In fact, I bet LSU works on that this week. It's a good observation from you, Peyton. Jason Babin at Babin JM asked something very similar. Why does LSU allow so many teams back into games? I dislike how many shots they give up after they play good D for 30 minutes. Again, I think your offense feeds into your defense, and LSU's offense started to break down against that Alabama zone, and that turned into easy buckets for Alabama. And then Alabama kind of went off scouting report too. So there's some things that LSU can fix there. But there's an underlying thought there that I'm glad, Jason, you asked that question. Why did LSU let them back in the game? And I understand that Alabama cut it to 79-75, four-point game with a few minutes left. That's a little bit nervous for fans. But it never felt like it was in danger to me. And so I actually went and looked at KenPom.com. One of my, you know, if you've listened to this, you've heard me talk about KenPom, the best statistical site out there for college basketball. And he actually has a tracker of what the win probability is for a team in any given game. And so, you know, it goes from 100% chance of winning at the final buzzer to 0% chance for the team that lost, and kind of hovers. And LSU in the second half, even when it got to 4 points with however many minutes left, a couple minutes left, they still had a 94.1% chance of winning that basketball game. It never really was in threat for the Tigers. So I understand that it was a little more uncomfortable. There are some things that LSU is going to want to fix, but they made their free throws. A few turnovers that they could fix certainly would help things. But again, I think it was that Alabama zone that LSU didn't quite plan for that gave them some issues. And once they sorted that out, it wasn't really a problem anymore. Couple more questions here to get to from Nicholas Cole at Nicholas Cole 40. Why does it seem like LSU struggles in transition offense so much? What do the stats say with the guards and overall athletes we have? It just seems like way too much of an adventure in a bad way when they are on the break. Actually, and good question, Nicholas. Actually, I don't have the numbers updated from last night yet because the system that I use hasn't processed it. But going into that game, LSU was fifth in the SEC and points per possession and transition attack, which is pretty good. It's a top 50 figure nationally. I wouldn't call it elite, but I would call it very good. The numbers say that they're pretty decent in transition. So I think I understand what you're saying. There's a few possessions there where it gets a little bit chaotic. I think there's guys like Emmett Williams and Marlon Taylor who are so energetic that sometimes they try to make the high energy play instead of the easiest play available. It gets a little helter-skelter, but for the most part, LSU's been pretty good in transition. They've slowed it down a little bit in terms of the pace this year over the last few games, although they picked it up against Alabama. And in fact, Alabama was, I said this on the last podcast, they were the worst defense in the SEC in transition defense. So I thought LSU picked a couple spots to run pretty well there. I think LSU's okay in the transition offense. There's definitely some things they could clean up and some areas to improve, but for the most part, I thought they were pretty good. Question from Doc Holopy at PNL319. Why are we the best team in the country? That's a very good question. Not quite there yet. Not quite there yet, but I love the enthusiasm. And look, I'm excited about this team too. They showed last night that they can play with anybody in the country. And when LSU plays like that, they're going to be one of the best teams in the country. Another question from David Andres at DavidAndres26. Can Cavell Bigby Williams be cloned? That'd be great. That would be absolutely fantastic for this team. I do not have the technology nor the steady hands to pull off a procedure like that, so we'll disperse that elsewhere. Last question from, let's go with Tilda Swinton, whose Twitter name I cannot read, and I appreciate all the questions that you submit, Tilda Swinton, on the podcast, but I just can't read your handle. I'm sorry. But did it feel a tiny bit fluky tonight, like they're not going to go 8 for 10 from 3 very many times? Yeah, some of the makes were a little bit fluky, the bank shots for sure. But I do think these things sort of even out over the course of a season. And I think LSU's a better shooting team than they've been all year. Now, they're not a 66.7% from three shooting team like they were last night, 10 of 15. But I don't think they're the 34-35% three-point shooting team that they are right now. I think they're probably a little bit better than that. And I think you're starting to see some of those numbers even out. Darius Days has had some really good looks this year that didn't fall, that kind of went in and out. He's up to 37% from three on the year. I think that's about where he belongs. Tremont Waters is starting to find his shot again. He's at 32% from three on the season. I think that's going to continue to go up to, you know, closer to 37-38%. Javonte Smart kind of got back in a groove last night. So I think the most surprising thing of the night was Emmett Williams stepping out and hitting a three. That's only the second one he's taken. If he starts making that adds a completely different dimension to LSU's offense. But there were some fluky makes, to be sure, for LSU on that end of the floor. The bank shots aren't sustainable. But for the most part, I think those things even out. And they kind of evened out in the game in the sense that in the second half, Alabama had a couple possessions that just tipped balls, and you know, LSU got their hands on a rebound and falling out of bounds, tried to save it or whatever, and then all of a sudden Alabama gets a kick out wide open three and makes that. Those things tend to even out over the course of a season. I don't think there was much fluky about what LSU did last night other than, like I said, the banked threes. I think they ran good offense. I think guys took good shots for the most part. This is a team that right now through a conference game and two conference games from some other teams is the second most efficient offense in the conference. They're 23rd in the country in offensive efficiency. They're making everything inside the two-point line. They're grabbing a bunch of offensive rebounds. They're making their free throws like they did last night. I think this is a good offensive team that if they don't get crushed on the offensive glass on the other end and if they don't turn the ball over, they're going to be pretty productive on that end. So, again, thanks for all the questions. We had a bunch this week. Like I said earlier in the show, going to try to come back with another episode of Boot Up on Friday. We're going to hear from players on Thursday afternoon to preview LSU's trip to Arkansas this weekend. A couple games to keep an eye on this evening. Arkansas is playing Florida let me pull up Arkansas' schedule here, at home in a game that LSU fans should watch. One, because Arkansas is at home. They don't typically lose at home, but they have lost twice this year at Bud Walton. And Florida is coming off a really, really tough loss to South Carolina, where they led for most of the game. And South Carolina, who all of a sudden is 2-0 in the SEC, having beaten Florida and Mississippi State, two of the better teams in the conference, despite coming into conference play as maybe the worst team in the SEC, or at least the worst resume in the SEC. They had lost to Stony Brook at home. They had lost to Wofford at home. Wofford's pretty good, though. They had lost to Wyoming. They had lost some tough games, but now they're 2-0 in the conference. But Florida's coming off a loss. They're going to be really, really hungry to beat Arkansas. That's a really good one to watch in the SEC tonight. And then Auburn is hosting Ole Miss, who is maybe the story of the surprise story of the SEC this year. Kermit Davis, the former LSU assistant, has them rolling. They're 11-2. They've won eight games in a row. They beat Vanderbilt on the road to start conference play. Auburn at Auburn is a different animal. KenPom, excuse me. That game is at Ole Miss. That game is in Oxford. So the Rebels might have a chance in that one. And if Ole Miss, you know, there's kind of, like I said in the last episode, tiers to the SEC right now. And they're certainly shifting every day because Kentucky losing their opener to Alabama shifts things up a little bit. Florida losing against South Carolina shifts things up a little bit. Mississippi State losing to South Carolina certainly shifts things up. But Auburn and Tennessee seem to be the, you know, they're the defending champs. They're of course, the top of the league. And that's a Ole Miss hosting Auburn. That's one to keep an eye on. So, again, we'll be back on Friday, hopefully. Going to keep trying to do two of these a week. It helps when you send in questions, so keep the questions coming. And until then, we'll see you next time on Boot Up the LSU Basketball Podcast.